You're listening to VFN Radio. Listen now to the Great Awakening taking place in South Africa, which we believe could be a part of helping bring a third Great Awakening to America. And don't forget, you can catch it in its entirety on God.TV. Enjoy.
And angels, you're giving your best night after night after night, and we really do need your help. We don't have the money. God.TV doesn't have the money, but God's got the money, and God uses people. And so we're going to ask the ushers to come tonight, and I'm going to ask you to pray. If you believe this is good ground, ask the Lord, Father, what do you want me to sow? And I want to thank you for your best seed tonight. I want to thank you for your best offering. It is an offering, and it's a love offering. It's a free will offering, because the gospel is free. These meetings are without charge. Night after night, we trust God, and we are trusting God. I want you to pray, and we're going to worship the Lord with our giving. We're going to pray over every offering. If you'd like to give tonight and you'd like to write a check, you can write a check. And I don't have all the information, but if you'd like to write a check, you're an international guest, you're visiting, and you'd like to give something by credit card, we can do that. You'll have to talk to one of somebody on my team or ushers. But if you have cash tonight and you'd like to give, then just ask the Lord, what is it you want me to give tonight, Father? And we thank you, Lord, for blessing this offering. And we're going to make a challenge. We're putting it out there for our partners watching, people that love our ministry, praying for our ministry. We're asking God.TV partners, friends, and angels, whatever you can do tonight. You're blessed, healing, awakening, coming night after night into your home, seeing the power of God, hearing the testimonies of people getting healed, saved, and delivered, so into revival in Africa with us. And we are committed in the coming weeks and months, however long the Lord has called us to be here, we're here. We've come to get under the cloud with you. It's South Africa's time. It's revival time. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for this offering we're about to receive tonight. I pray that you multiply every seed, that there be a mighty harvest of souls, that you multiply every seed in our hand, that we could have more to give for your glory. God, I thank you for those churches and ministries, for those individuals you're calling to partner. Thank you for those businessmen and women that you're moving on, that there's a resource that's being released in, even in this nation, God, for the harvest that's coming at the end of the age. And we thank you, Father, for a global revival, a global impact, and global revival in Jesus' mighty name. And now would you bless us in our giving tonight, Lord, as we sow in the mighty name of Jesus. Pick up the number that's on the screen. Call. All the information is on the website if you want to give. Give with us tonight. God bless you as you give.
Well, dear viewer, it's time to act. Todd has encouraged us now to, and in fact, all of us around the world, to do something and to take the responsibility, step out in faith, ask the Holy Spirit, first of all, you know, and then do something about it. So we want to encourage you to phone the number on the screen. There's somebody standing by to take your call, or you can even go online and make your donation online.
Amen, absolutely. And listen, can I just say, viewers, tonight, whilst up on that platform, you will have seen, as you were watching tonight, the presence of God, and he will have come into your living room as well. That presence is increasing day by day, and we're believing by faith that we will have the provision for us to go on and move forward in this incredible vision to take this further, Marcel, to the nations.
Yes. So as you have spoken to your husband, to your wife, as you have spoken to your friends, come, let's make that commitment. Phone the number on the screen. And we thank all of our partners who've already responded during this revival. God bless you richly. So let's join the worship team, and as Todd prepares for the next part of this revival service, God bless you. We'll speak to you later.
My heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. great eyes of my heart, 'cause I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love, we sing holy, holy, oh. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love, we sing holy. You are holy, 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 holy. You are holy, 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 'cause I wanna see you. You are holy, 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 'cause I wanna. You are holy, 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 holy. You are holy, 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 'cause I want to see you. 'Cause you are holy, 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 holy. You are holy, holy, 'cause I want.
We want to see you, Jesus. We want to see you, Jesus. We want to see you tonight. We want to see you tonight. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to tell you what I saw. I want you to open your Bible. If you have your Bible tonight, to the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. If you don't have a Bible tonight, just have ears to hear for a few moments. And I believe I have a word from the Lord. Something I know we're going to release tonight. Many of you watching tonight are going to have breakthrough in this word. Things are going to happen in the spirit tonight. I'm just going to declare two scriptures, because every experience that we have, whether it's a dream, vision, angelic encounter, it needs to be rooted in the scripture. Where's that in the Bible? And so I'm going to declare tonight what I saw out of Luke 24, reading in verse 1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood beside them in shining garments. Two men stood beside them in shining garments. The stone was rolled away, and they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. The message is, He is risen. I'm talking about resurrection life. I'm talking about resurrection power. And again, in the Gospel of John, I'm reading and declaring in John chapter 20, verse 11, another perspective on what happened at the tomb on the day that Jesus was risen from the dead. And it declares in John 20, verse 11, but Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb and saw two angels. What does your Bible say? Saw two.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Angels, two men in shining garments, they were called angels, in white, sitting one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus was laid. And they said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and she did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She supposed him to be the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And she said, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni, teacher." And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and my God and your God." He is risen is the message. But two angels appeared at the tomb. Two men shining in garments, sitting on the rock. And the stone was rolled away. And they could not find the body of Jesus. And this is what I dreamed today. I laid down at 4:30. I don't know if I was awake or sleeping. But in my dream, an angel came to me. It was two angels, but I only saw one. And I said, "Lord, what's happening?" And he said, "This is the angel that came on the day of the resurrection. This is a resurrection angel." How many of you believe that resurrection angels are in the Bible? I just read two passages of scripture that show you that on the day that Jesus was risen from the dead, the angels came. I want you to understand, I believe that when there's a death, it's angels that come and escort you into the glory. Call it going through the pearly gates, if you will. But many years ago, there was a prophet, and he prayed for me. In 1975, well, that was a long time ago for me. I mean, I don't know about you, but 1975, this prophet died and went to heaven. He died literally, not in a vision. He died. He bled to death, and he went to heaven. And he described what it was like in heaven, and he stood before the throne in heaven, and there was a lot of other things that he saw. But one thing that the Lord spoke to him about was how he would come back to the earth and prophesy about a harvest that would come at the end of the age, in which in one move of God, 1 billion young people, 1 billion souls would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And God said, "I'm going to send you back to prophesy and prepare the church for the harvest at the end of the age." That was in 1975. He said, "When I was in heaven, I saw some of the babies that were yet to be born that would be the beginning of a revival generation that would be a part of one of the greatest moves of God that we would ever see, that would be the glory of God that would bring in the harvest at the end of the age." He said, "You will see it in your lifetime." This prophet, his name was Bob Jones. When I met Bob Jones many years later, of course, and I was in my 20s, Bob said in 1975, the year I was conceived, I was born in 1976, January 1976, but it was in 1975 I was conceived. And when I met this prophet, I'd never been around a prophet before, especially somebody that would have visitations of Jesus, angels, somebody that died and went to heaven and came back. I mean, at one time, I know the history in Kansas City, Bob Jones was one of the most accurate prophets predicting floods, storms, earthquakes, miracles. I mean, very accurate, especially in the 80s, early 90s, giving prophetic words that would shape the history, really, of the church. And when I met him years later, I had never been around somebody that was such a seer, that would see in the spirit every day. I mean, every day he would talk about what he would see in heaven. He would talk about what the angels were doing. He would talk about the dreams he was having, the trances and the visions. Time and time again, God has used him as a key prophetic voice in my life. And I've seen every prophecy that was ever given to me anyways. I've seen it come to pass. But you know, everybody's a man. Everybody's a human. Nobody's perfect but Jesus. But when I got around this prophet, he said, there was an anointing I saw in you. You were one of many first fruits of a whole generation that was coming. He said, I saw in 1975 in heaven many babies that were yet to be born. When were you born? I said, my birthday was January 1976. And he looked at me and he said, you were conceived in 1975. I saw you. You're one. You're a sign. You're one of many, a part of a generation that's coming, that's prophesying about the coming glory and the harvest that's coming at the end of the age. And I said, who are you? And over the years, I would be a part of different meetings and events and conferences, and I would travel with these ministries. And a second time, he was talking about the day he died. And he said, the angels came the day I died. It's documented that he died. I don't remember how long he was dead, but the angels took him to heaven. And when the angels came back to heaven, God gave him two angels and said, these are two angels of resurrection, just like these angels in the Bible. They're going to accompany you back to the earth. Your spirit's going to come back into your body, and I'm going to raise you from the dead. And you're going to give a message to the church about a harvest that's coming. And these two angels came back to his room with him. He was resurrected. And then he started to travel. And after that, people started to get raised from the dead. And he said these angels were a part of his ministry everywhere he went. That was 30-something years. And I was in a conference in Canada one time, just sitting in the front row. And he said, I got a word from the Lord today. He said, I saw those two resurrection angels. The dead are going to be raised. And I'm going to pray for you. And the Lord's going to assign those two angels that were with me when I came back from the dead. I said, what do you mean the Lord's going to assign? How many of you believe the Lord can assign angels? It's in the Bible. The seven churches of the book of the message to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, it says to the angel of the church of Ephesus, to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, to the angel, every one of the seven churches had an angel assigned to it. I believe God can assign angels to churches. God can assign angels to ministries. God can assign angels to cities. God can assign angels to people. Hallelujah. People have said to me one time, how do you know what the angels are doing? Well, their name is their nature. Their name is their assignment. If you can know what the angel's name is, you can find out who he is and what he's doing. Their name is their nature. Their name is their assignment. And here I was in this meeting, and he said, I'm going to pray for you, Todd Bentley, and I'm going to release these two resurrection angels. And I said, I'm the young man, and you're the senior prophet. You're the seer prophet. I don't even know what this means. Okay, hallelujah. You want to give me two resurrection angels? I'll take them in the name of Jesus. You can throw in a couple of breakthrough angels. You can throw in a couple of healing angels, whatever God wants to do. Hallelujah. Angels are simply the servants. They come to minister. They're like you and me. Hallelujah. In fact, we have a place that's even a little above the angels. We don't worship angels. We worship God. We worship Jesus. But the Bible says the angels do his word. Hallelujah. When the Father speaks a word and the Father commands a word in heaven, it's the angels that do it. And the Bible calls them ministering spirits that come to help. Ministering spirits that minister to the heirs of salvation. So angels are ministering and angels are helping. Hallelujah. Worship angels, cherubim, seraphim angels. In fact, they're not just angels. They're called living creatures. Hallelujah. Not just angels in heaven, but creatures in heaven. Hallelujah. Living creatures. Hallelujah. And there's all kinds of angels. I believe in guardian angels. I believe in angels that minister healing. I believe in angels of divine protection. I believe in angels of breakthrough. There's an example in the scripture for David on two different times in 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, the angel of breakthrough came. The wind that was blowing in the top of the mulberry trees was an angelic sound that came that brought supernatural deliverance and breakthrough for David. I mean, the Bible, it's amazing, but one third of...
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
The Bible talks about supernatural revelation and visitation. Hallelujah. I believe in this coming outpouring of God's glory. It's not just harvest, miracle, signs, and wonders, but God is opening up and giving an invitation for you and me to have an encounter with the love, presence, and power of Jesus. More and more, God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. And what's happening in that outpouring? Young men are having visions. All young men. Old men are having dreams. All old men. Dreams aren't just for prophets. Visions aren't just for prophets. All young men are having visions. It should be normal in the church for young people to have visions. It should be normal for people to dream dreams. God said, I'll pour out my Spirit on all of humanity, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. It should be normal for all of our sons and daughters to prophesy. And if you're going to prophesy, speak the heart and the mind of God. You can't prophesy if you don't see stuff. You can't prophesy if you're not hearing stuff. Hallelujah. And all of our sons and daughters are going to prophesy, and God's going to show signs in the heavens above, wonders in the earth beneath. We're moving into that time more than ever in the last of the last days where God is pouring out His Spirit. And I'm telling you, this revival is going to be a revival of the Father's glory. It's a Shekinah glory, and the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. It won't just be a harvest and miracles, signs, and wonders, but there's something about a presence. There's something about a glory presence, and it's been coming in these meetings, some nights stronger than others, but there's been many services that we've been in this place where it's been difficult to even stay on our feet because the glory has been so overwhelming. I've walked into the building on some nights more than others, but I've walked into the building on some nights, and this is the only reason that I would stay in one city in Africa. I mean, people said, when are you coming back to America? I left on the last week of March to Botswana, Africa, and I haven't been home since. Somebody said, Todd, are you just going to stay in Africa? You're going to bring it back to America? We're hungry for revival in America. I said, I'm going to be wherever the glory is. And if the glory is in Tonga and it's touching Hindus and Muslims, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be there because I want the glory more than I want anything else. Listen, I'm done with professional church. I'm done with professional revival. I'm done with just having meetings. As great as I love all the conferences that I've been a part of over the years, I've been a part of 1,000 conferences. And, you know, as much as I love writing books and I'm an author and I love to speak and preach, and I can do it in my church and ministry anywhere I want to go in the world. We could be anywhere that we want to be in the world. We could be there doing what I love, and what I love is preaching the gospel and healing the sick and seeing people come to know Jesus. We've been in crusades even in this country, in Africa. We've been in crusades even in this country, in Joburg with the Nigerians. We had a massive crusade many years ago. We've been in meetings in Congo, Ethiopia, Tanzania, Rwanda. I mean, all over Africa, we've had over 150 crusades, and some of those meetings have up to 80 to 120,000 people in every service. We could call that revival if you want to talk about crowds. I've been in meetings where we've had in 6 days 405,000 Hindus and Muslims come to give their lives to Jesus. 6 days, 405,000 decisions for Christ. 4,000 churches planted in just one meeting. But that doesn't mean it's revival. Crusades, conferences. I mean, there's a professionalism we have in the church today. You know what I want? Because when you've tasted the real thing, when you've tasted the glory presence, listen, I can't go back now. Listen, there's people watching me on the television. They're going, that's good stuff, Todd. That's good stuff. But do you have to talk about Bob Jones and, you know, angels and supernatural dreams and visions? I believe it's just as much a part of this outpouring and this revival. People are hungry for the reality of the supernatural. We got to give it to the world. The reality guarantee. We got to say heaven is real. It's in you. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's within you. And if heaven is showing up, what does that look like? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but if you were in heaven, what would you expect to see? I just want to ask you just a thought-provoking question for a moment. If you were in heaven right now, what would be normal in heaven? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. If you were in heaven right now, you died and you were with the Lord, would it be normal that you saw angels, living creatures, maybe even people in your family and home? Maybe you would meet Peter and Paul and Elijah and Abraham, people that you read about in the Bible. I don't know what you expect to see when you get to heaven. I don't know what you expect to be doing when you get to heaven. But you know, in heaven, there's no sin, no sorrow, no sickness, no disease, no death, no poverty. There's peace, there's joy, there's righteousness in the Holy Ghost. What would it be like if you were in heaven? And what would you expect to see if you were in heaven? That was what the Lord said to me one time. And then he said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. When you pray, pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not, but I want it to be, so pray that it would be. Your kingdom come. What's the kingdom of God? The will of God in heaven on earth. What's the kingdom of God? As it is in heaven on earth. And I started to think about, what does that look like? If heaven was really showing up on the earth like heaven, then shouldn't angels be normal? I mean, maybe I'm just so out there, out of the box of what you might call normal. Or it could be that the church has become comfortable with what we believe. Even our theology has been lowered and subjective to what we don't see. We change what we believe based on what we do or do not see, rather than just believing the Word of God, that more than one-third of the Word of God, you can't show me one person in the Bible, not Mary, not Joseph, not Abraham, not Elijah, not one person in the Bible that did not have something supernatural happen. Whether it was God appearing, an angel appearing, Israel for 40 years saw the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. If you got up in church today and said, I'm a Christian, and I saw the pillar of cloud, people would go, I don't think you saw the cloud. That's our first response. Hey, I saw a pillar of fire. Nah, I don't think so. Hey, I see an angel. Nah, I don't think so. Hey, I had a dream. I had a vision. God's talking to me. No. God's not talking to you. I know I'm a believer, and we're supposed to believe in power, miracles, signs, and wonders. I know that's the stuff that we preach in our church, but when people start having experiences, when people start having encounters, hallelujah, it's going to become normal. I believe God is opening up the doors and the windows that are in heaven, and his voice is saying, come up here. And, you know, it's amazing to me, but there was a time where I thought, Lord, maybe I won't talk about the supernatural stuff so much. I'll just preach the gospel. This is the gospel. It's called the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. We need to bring a full revelation. Listen, this is all about knowing God. And this is all about heaven, manifesting heaven everywhere that you go. And what are you waiting for? I know there are people in this room, it might be 5 years you have, maybe a little bit longer. You could be a lot closer to heaven than you know. But if you were in heaven right now, what would you call normal? If you were in heaven right now, what would you expect? I'm talking about what you expect to see. What would it be like in heaven? Why should it be less now? Nobody has been able to show me in the scriptures that we cannot have as much of heaven as we want now. Oh, there's still, we're not there. That's why I'm talking about pressing in. That's why I'm talking about fullness. We're not there, but we can be. Just how far can we go? That's my question for you. That's my thought-provoking question. Don't be satisfied with wherever it is that you have. Let God define a new normal. Let God define it. You know what a normal is for me? I don't know about you, but I've been in this for a while. Normal for me is people being raised from the dead. Normal for me, the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk. That's just normal. Normal for me is we've had over 1 million 1 million public decisions for Jesus Christ just in the last, you know, in a 7-year period, 1 million souls. That's normal for me, hallelujah, and I'm still not happy, hallelujah. Normal for me is dreams every night. Normal for me is visions every day. Normal for me is words of knowledge and prophecy. Normal for me is the manifest presence of God every day, every night, not just an outpouring in Tonga. Normal for me is the burning bush. Normal for me is the glory cloud. Normal for me is the third heaven. Normal for me is the throne room. Normal for me is whatever I read in the Bible that's ever happened to anybody else. That becomes my new standard of normal. And I get jealous. And I say, God, you said to desire spiritual gifts. People have lost the desire and the hunger for spiritual gifts to encounter and experience the knowledge that we have. We can't just be satisfied with knowledge anymore. We got to have knowledge, but we got to have an experience too. We got to experience what we know. That's the message.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
There's an invitation to a divine experience. There's an invitation to a divine encounter. And I had that dream this afternoon. And I didn't expect that I was going to see a resurrection angel. And when the angel came, the Lord had a message. Here was the message. He said this: the stone has been rolled away. In your life, in your marriage, in your business, in your ministry, in your life and death situation, God is rolling away the stone. God is opening up the tomb, and He's releasing resurrection. If there's an area of your life, your vision, your church, your ministry, your marriage, your business, if there's an area in your body that needs resurrection, it's here, and the stone is rolled away. That's why I saw resurrection angels. I said, God, we're going to prophesy life. We're going to speak life. We're going to prophesy resurrection. You know, it would have been one thing to say, hey, I saw an angel, a resurrection angel, but we need to do something with that. You know, there's a reason we have encounters. There's a reason we have dreams. There's a reason we have visions. It can't just be about having experiences. It's got to go somewhere. And where is it going to go tonight? It's going into the homes. It's going into the hospitals. It's going into life and death situations. People that are on their deathbeds. People that are watching right now. Stage 4 cancers. It's going into situations where your marriage is at its last breath and it needs a resurrection. Your church is at its last breath. It needs a resuscitation. Your business is at its last breath. Your business needs a resurrection. Your vision, your anointing, your dream, your passion. There's many things that need to be resurrected. And why not even the dead be raised too while we're at it? Pray for a resurrection of the dead. We've now had, listen, I have to go back over all of the testimonies over the years preaching around the world in Uganda, Africa, Nigeria, Mexico, America, Europe. We've had now 36 resurrections from the dead. 36 testimonies of people raised from the dead in our ministry. Why not the dead too? I mean, Jesus said, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. It was a command. Jesus commanded them. I don't know if you've ever read the scripture of Matthew 10:5, but it says Jesus commanded them. And what did He command them saying? As you go, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, commanded them. When Jesus commands something, you need to listen. Here's what Jesus commanded them. As you go, preach. We got a lot of preachers today, but that's all they're doing. We got that part down. As you go, preach. But it was Jesus in the same breath that said, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in the same breath, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out devils. So what do you do when the dead show up? Raise them. What do you do when the lepers show up? Cleanse them. What do you do when the sick come? Heal them. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is not mere talking. The kingdom of God is power. We've got to begin to show the world again that Jesus is alive, not because of a message, not because of a sermon. I'm bringing you a message. I'm bringing you a sermon, but evidence has already happened on this platform, and you're hearing the testimonies. People are talking about it in the malls, the restaurants, houses, homes, all the hotels that we've been to, up to 2 hours away. People from Tonga to Durban are talking about what's been happening in the last 35 days, the miracles that have happened in this place. And many of the people getting healed in their living rooms, touching their TVs and getting healed by the thousands, are Hindus. And I said, God, they're experiencing the power of God, maybe even more than Christians. Because once you've been saved too long, you lose your hunger. I mean, it's hard. I don't know about you, but you go through some things like religion and politics. You go through some things called professional Christianity. Try to keep your fire. Oh, and if you think you're burning, you probably need to say, God, help. I need the fire of God. Listen, people that think they're burning, listen, as much as I think I'm burning, I'm not burning anywhere near how I want to burn for God. I'm not even close. And if I'm not close, I don't know about you. There's just too many people in the church today satisfied with what they think. And listen, we have a measure. Thank God for the measure you have. It might be a greater measure than we have. You might be seeing millions saved, millions healed, millions delivered. But until it touches the world, how many of you want to be a part of the harvest at the end of the age? How many of you want to be a part of the greatest revival? How many of you want to be a part of the coming, the outpouring of God's glory? I'm telling you right now, people say, what do you think the next revival will be? What are we going to talk about? What are we going to call it? And I said, I don't know, but I know this. All people are going to be able to say, they're going to come in at our meetings, and all they're going to be able to say is, I've never felt the presence of Jesus like that. That's what I live for. That's greater than any miracle. That's greater than any healing. That's greater than any power. I want people to say, I have never felt the presence of Jesus. See, when I got saved, there was a woman by the name of Catherine Coleman, and I would hear testimonies about how the Holy Spirit would come in her meetings. And people would say this, just standing outside of the stadiums to get into the services at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you could feel electricity in the air, like a generator. By the time you got into the building was so alive with the presence of God, it was like electricity in the building. And people would leave the services. Yeah, the blind saw, the deaf heard, miracles happened, but they would leave the services and say, I've never felt the presence of the Holy Spirit like that before. When the Lord came and said to me, the stone had been rolled away. He said, everything from 4 days, 4 years, and 4 months would be resurrected. Even tonight, 4 days, 4 months, and 4 years. And I said, God, why 4 days, 4 months, 4 years? And immediately I thought, John 4, Jesus said, do not say the harvest comes in 4 months, but lift up your eyes and see the harvest fields are already. He said, whatever's been delayed 4 months, don't say it's coming in 4 months. It's already here. There's things that you're waiting for that are already here. And there's a message today, and it's here. And it's now. It's not in 4 months. I started thinking about John 4. And then all the fours in the Bible, the four living creatures, you know, the Trinity, 3 plus 1 is 4. And I said, God, you're speaking to me about 4 months, 4 days, 4 years. Could be your business 4 years. Could be your marriage 4 years. Whatever it is, 4 days. Could be a resurrection. Lazarus was 4 days in the tomb. Jesus rolled the stone away. And then I looked up the word four in the Bible, in the Hebrew. And you know what four means? The day of creation. The day of creative miracles. Four is the day that all of creation of material things was completed. Four. There's four times in the day. There's morning, noon, night, and midnight. I mean, there's four elements, fire, wind. I mean, I just started to think about all these things. And I said, God, you're speaking to me about four. Why was it when the angel came, you spoke to me about four? You're speaking to me about creation. You're speaking to me about creative works. You're speaking to me about resurrection, that the tomb has been rolled away. And whatever it is that was dead in your life, it is risen. It's going to be risen tonight. Your church is going to be risen. Listen, I got a message tonight about resurrection, things that are going to be raised from the dead in your life, that God is going to assign resurrection life and power to you tonight. And you're going to see everything that's death. If it's death in your body, death in your organs, cancer, whatever it is, death. You're going to see physical infirmity. You're going to see death in any area where my people have no vision, they perish. That's death too. Without your dream and vision of God's calling and destiny for your life, and you've lost it, that's death, hopelessness, despair, depression. There's going to be resurrection. If it's death working tonight, it's going to be defeated. God's going to roll away the stone, and he's going to speak into your tomb. The tomb of your marriage, the tomb of your business, the tomb of your finances.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
The tomb of your church and ministry, the tomb of your body. And there's going to be a release. And I remember the day that that prophet, I told you in the beginning of my message, that prophet, Bob Jones, he brought me onto the platform in a meeting and he said, Todd Bentley, the Lord told me that the two angels that have been traveling with me for 30-something years, they're now going to be assigned to you. And when these angels come, resurrections from the dead are going to become normal. And I had never had a resurrection. The moment he prayed for me and he said, Lord, I pray that these angels of resurrection, life, and power would begin to work in Todd's ministry. And I said, I believe that. That's in the Bible. I believe God can assign angels. God can release angels to cities and churches and ministries. I said, I'll take one, Lord. Hallelujah. I've had many angelic encounters over the year. Listen. I said, Lord, I'll take it. I just took it by faith. I didn't even feel anything. But when he said the angels were with me, I said, amen. I got two brand new resurrection angels. Here we go. Hallelujah. We're going into the nations. 36 testimonies of resurrections of the dead. 22 of those stories individually verified medically by two medical teams as miraculous resuscitations. One of the greatest resurrections that I ever saw, and it made the media, was a woman that was in a hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, dead for 3 days, and they were harvesting her organs. And when they went to remove the organs, we were praying on God TV. She was resurrected from the dead. It made the MSNBC news, headline news. They said a woman that was having her organs harvested was raised from the dead before the autopsy. One time I was preaching in Mexico, and the power of God was so great. I'm bringing my message to a close here. The power of God was so great preaching in Mexico City. The power of God was so tangible. 10,000 people in the stadium. And in the second deck, as I was preaching, I stopped in the middle of my sermon and I pointed. And I said, the glory just came into the room. And I looked and I saw an angel, a white light. And I stopped and I said, there's an angel in the balcony. And then a man screamed. And everybody around him screamed. And there was commotion everywhere. I said, bring him down here. Bring him down here. Something's happening. And they brought the man down. And I'm going to tell you, this is a long story, but I'm going to tell you what happened. Down syndrome. In South Africa, you have Down syndrome. Babies that are born with Down syndrome. You know how they look with their features? How they speak? This man was born with Down syndrome. And when the glory came and he went into the white light, his face morphed. And he became as normal as you and me and was healed of Down syndrome in front of everybody. True story. The power of God was so great, there was a man that was working on the power lines, and he touched one of the, and he jolted off and was instantly dead before he hit the ground. His body was fried, marred, burnt. I won't get any more graphic than that. But he fell from the top of the power lines, 220, however, the generator exploded. He fell to the ground. His body exploded, was dead instantly. Wasn't a Christian. Was in the hospital dead for 48 hours. 48 hours. We had 100 teenagers with us in Mexico, and we decided we were going to take cities for Christ, and I sent them into the hospitals. They started praying for the sick in the very hospital where that man's body was in the basement. As they were praying in the hospital, the man in the mortuary was resurrected from the dead. Nobody in the room. The man was resurrected. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. He came out of, he was banging on the door to get out. When they finally got him out of the, he told his story. Not only was he raised from the dead, his flesh was as normal as you and me. They brought him to the stadium, and in front of 10,000 people, he came up onto my platform and shared his testimony. Even the media had his story. The media had the story of how the man died. And here the man is on the platform after being dead for 48 hours, public death, giving his testimony about how when he died, he went to hell. He said, I never believed in Jesus. I never believed in hell, but when I died, I was in hell. He'd begun to describe it until he said, I heard a voice. You know, people don't believe in hell. People don't preach hell anymore. Hell is real. It's more than eternal separation. It's a place just like heaven. Do you believe heaven is a place? It's not just eternity somewhere, but that there's a place called heaven, even though God's everywhere. Hell is more than eternal separation. It's not just something in our mind. We're kind of in hell already. He said, I never believed in hell until I went there after I died. He said, and a voice called my name. And I looked up, and Jesus called me. And when I heard the voice of Jesus, my spirit came back into my body, and I was resurrected in the morgue. I've come to give my life to Jesus Christ with my whole family. Him, his wife, his son, and his daughter publicly gave their life to Jesus Christ. A revival happened in that city that was so great that the area hospitals at the same time every day, and it made it into the press, into the media, a supernatural phenomena occurred. People started checking out of area hospitals totally healed at the same time. Just randomly, sick patients would claim they were healed and check out of hospitals. And it was such a phenomena in so many hospitals all over the city. And the miracles that were happening all over the city all happened at the same time, 11:45, at a 11:45 in the morning, at the same time in all of the area hospitals. People just checked out of the hospital healed, claiming they were healed, and it made the newspaper. Supernatural phenomena. Local patients claimed they were healed and checked themselves out of the hospital. That was all in the same meeting. How many of you believe that's revival? That's the kind of power. That's the kind of resurrection life and power and glory God wants to release in this place, in Tonga, in Durban, in Phoenix, in Chatsworth. I mean, come on, in this nation, in South Africa, God is releasing a glory tonight in Jesus' name. You want to come and be a part of it? We're going to be here over the next 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's hard to believe, Pastor, just three services left. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then we're taking Healing Awakening. Get ready, Joburg. Get ready, Pretoria. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're watching right now, this is the first time, if you're watching in Joburg, Pretoria, and you're hungry for revival, and you haven't been able to get down to Tongat, and you want to get under the cloud, we are now coming, here it is, to the Pretoria Showgrounds, Building L. I don't know what that means, but Building L, that's right, the letter L, the Pretoria Showgrounds. We are coming next Wednesday, May the 15th. Get ready, Twin Cities of Revival and Power, Joburg and Pretoria. The fire is coming. Come and get under the cloud. Tell somebody. Connect your church. Connect your ministry. Hallelujah. Reach out. The information is on the screen. Send us an email. Pick up your phone and call, because we're believing that what's been happening in Tongat, that this fire that was birthed in this place, it's ready to go to the rest of the nation. Hallelujah. And not just Joburg and Pretoria, but we're coming to Cape Town too. And we're prophesying Cape Town, Cairo. We want to take it all the way from Cape Town all the way to Cairo, Egypt. Hallelujah. But there's a move of God. It was always bigger than one man, one church, and one ministry. It was always bigger than Tongat. And I know, Pastor, you're going to keep the fire. You're going to go after this. You're a man that has a heart and a passion after revival, maybe more than any other pastor that I've worked with over the years. The sacrifices that you and your wife and your team have made to just be available to the move of God in this place.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
It's eternal, and we thank you, and we bless you, and we want you to run with the fire. And we're saying the wine is going to be the best. Listen, you need to come and get here Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Come and be a part of the anointing service Friday night, because this is going to be the best. God saves his best wine for last. But we're wanting people. We're making an announcement right now. Get on Facebook. Get on Twitter. Text message, email. Tell somebody we're coming to the Pretoria Showgrounds, Building L, 7 o'clock, May the 15th. That's next Wednesday. We're going to begin. 14 days is the commitment right now. And as the Lord tarries, we're going to keep going. But we're believing God is going to give the kind of outpouring that we've had here, that it's just going to keep moving. It's just going to keep spreading, and it's going to keep growing. And we're telling the nations, come and get under the cloud with us in Pretoria, Joburg. Hallelujah. If you're coming in from the nations, come. Come. We're going to be here through the month of May, and we're just believing God that this is going to get stronger. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a mighty shout. Give him a mighty shout. You know, there are people in this room tonight. We're going to pray for the sick. But there are people in this room tonight never given your lives to Jesus Christ. We're talking about resurrection. We're talking about life. And you need resurrection. You need to be made alive. Made alive in Christ Jesus. Because you're dead in your trespasses and sin. We all need a Savior. There's only one name given under heaven by which men must be saved. And that name was Jesus. And the Bible says you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. That if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose, Jesus died and rose from the dead, and you're willing to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again, and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Bible says you can be saved. Just like that man, when he died and he went to hell, it was the grace and the love of God brought him back. And he came, and the first thing that he did was he said, I need to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. Hell is real. I want to be saved. I need to be saved. My whole family, we need to be saved. And Jesus was the only one that ever paid the price. He's not in the tomb. He's risen. He's not in the tomb. He's risen. And he's here tonight, knocking at the door of your heart. And I'm going to give you an opportunity tonight. Backslidden, Christian, black, white, Indian, colored. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what your religion is. Hindu, Muslim, atheist, Buddhist. Doesn't matter who you are. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. The greatest miracle is salvation. And in every service, we give an altar call. And we've had nights where 100 people would come forward. Maybe just 50. We've had nights where 500 people would come forward. We just want to be available. I believe if we gave more altar calls in our churches, we'd see a greater harvest of souls. I want every head to bow and every eye to close for one moment. If you were to die tonight, it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. If you were to die tonight and you stood before God's throne, and God said, "Why should I let you into heaven?" what would you say? Are you born again? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You can be washed in the blood tonight. You can be born of the Spirit. And it's His goodness and it's His love. Many of you are getting touched and healed even before knowing Jesus. You're just showing up and God's touching you and healing you. You're watching. God's touching you. God's healing you. But there's something about a personal, intimate relationship. If you want me to pray with you tonight for the first time to give your life to Jesus, then what I want you to do right now is put your hand up. Just go ahead and put your hand up and say, "That's me. I want to give my life to Jesus." Could you do that? Just go ahead and put your hand up and just wave at me if that's you. I want to pray with you tonight to be born again. Just lift your hand up and say, "That's me. I want to give my life to Jesus tonight." God bless you. Anybody else, you want to give your life to Jesus tonight? I want to pray with you. I want to pray and give you an opportunity tonight to come forward and to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you. Just go ahead and put your hand up. Say, "That's me." Doesn't matter where you are in the building tonight. Just come forward, sweetheart. Taking a step of faith, I'm going to come and pray with you. Anybody else, would you just get out of your seat right now and just come and stand before this altar. If you want to give your life to Jesus, I'm inviting every backslidden Christian. You need to get right with God. I'm inviting every Hindu, every Muslim. I want you to come tonight. Jesus is going to touch you. Just get out of your seat right now and just come forward. If that's you, God bless you as you come. Any others, just come. Just get out of your seat and come forward. Turn to your neighbor on your right and left and say, "You want to give your life to Jesus tonight?" Make sure the person that's sitting next to you, your friend, your neighbor, they know Jesus. Just bring them to the altar with you. Bring your family. Bring your friends. We're waiting for every soul tonight. We're giving an opportunity. And if you're watching in your living room tonight and you want to give your life to Jesus, maybe you've been bound by drugs, alcohol, addiction, you're going to pray with us tonight in your home, in your hotel, in your living room, wherever you're watching at the church altar, we're going to pray with you. Give your life to Jesus tonight. Is there anybody else? You need to come and get right with God. You want to know His love. You've never made a commitment to Christ. Just going to give you one more moment to come forward. God bless you. God bless you. And I'm going to come. I'm going to ask you to just come right over here. Just come and stand right over here. Is there anybody else? This is the great moment. I'm going to step down and we're all going to pray together. And we're going to worship the Lord for a moment. And then we're going to pray for the Lord to release resurrection, life, and power. God bless you as you come. We just thank you, Father, tonight for souls. These souls at the altar tonight that want to know Jesus. Just bow your head, close your eyes, and say, "Jesus, I want to be born again. I want to give my life to you. I want to be saved, forgiven of my sin. I want to be resurrected, a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. Come into my heart now, Jesus. Wash me in your blood. I receive tonight. Jesus, I receive tonight the free gift of eternal life. And I will follow you from this day forward. And Holy Spirit, I want you to fill me, change me, save me, heal me, deliver me. In Jesus' name. Thank you for loving me and saving me and healing me. I receive you now in the mighty name of Jesus. Fill them, Holy Spirit. Fill them, Holy Spirit. Fill them, Holy Spirit. Fill them, Holy Spirit. Just pray for these souls tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Each one sealed with redemption. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. You know, Jesus left the 99 to go after the one. Jesus would come just for you. Lord, touch his heart and heal his body. And fill her with your love. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. We're going to have the ushers just come and just take them for a moment. We're going to write your name and just get some information. I'm going to step over to the altar. Can you feel that? Well, let's just worship. Everybody stand up. I'm going to step over to the altar. We have all these prayer requests coming in from around the world.
You're listening to VFN Radio, and you've just been listening to the Great Awakening taking place in South Africa, which we believe can be a part of helping bring America's third Great Awakening. And don't forget, you can catch it in its entirety at God.TV. Thanks for listening. VFN Radio.